Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. Long time no broadcast. There's been different things happening. I'm cool. I'm okay. But I will say I had trouble with my Wi-Fi. Comcast had problems for like a few weeks, 2-3 weeks. But also in the midst of that, I had a very bad back pain. But I must shout out to Massage Master in Northport Mall here in Jackson, Mississippi Metropolitan Area, Original Mall, because Lee there has, I've been there twice and received awesome chair massages, and wherever that pain come from, it has pretty much gone away. And so I am feeling so good. I was feeling so good just out of nowhere. It was as if someone had a voodoo doll or something and just literally stuck it up and down the back, all around the back. I mean, this intense pain just came out of nowhere. And I'm talking about intense pain. I thought I was going to go to ER, but I didn't. I do have I had a physical exam scheduled for this Friday, but I've canceled it and I'm going to postpone it for right after the Fairleigh in like a week, because I'm probably will be attending the Ginuwine concert Thursday night, and out late and then going to the doctor early. If my back was still hurting, I would not cancel, but I'm rescheduling ASAP. So anybody that said, well, go to your doctor's appointment. I am still going to my doctor's appointment. I just needed to reschedule it. But things are fine. It's, you know, just like you guys, life been, you know, the roller coaster ride of life, and praying for, you know, congratulating many friends, but also praying for some friends also, and fellow Avon ladies and others also. And you know who you are if you're listening. You know what I'm saying? Hugs to you. I know some of you are probably ticked because she can't postpone the show. But I'm scheduling and you know, setting the set schedule. Have many super guests that are coming, like during the future, like near future broadcasts. From authors to entrepreneurs to Peter Cook is coming back the 18th. Or sooner, he'll be coming back to talk with us, and many other guests. I'm just from different arenas. Historians have Prince Israel will be coming on. He hosts a local public access show here a long time, and he's always sharing and enlightening others regarding Black history. And so he agreed to come on and talk with us regarding history, and I'm a history buff, and I know many of you are history buffs also, and not to mention the artists and musicians that I have been effectively networking with. And congratulations to Prince and Third Eye Girl. They're up there in Chanhassen right now partying, and some of you are just having a good time up there. Big love to Ursula Love and Linka Paris and Matt Fink, and you know, I network with him pretty regularly. Andre Simone, you know, just I have to shout out Minneapolis Sound peeps. But Prince dropped two albums, so on tomorrow, Thursday, I'll be sharing some of his new music with you guys also. I do my best to, you know, really, you guys know I could talk about Prince every day. The topic could be Prince every day. But, you know, early on in the when I first came on air, my mom was like, my mom thought it was really like the Prince show. But it's an entertainment lifestyle show. And then, you know, a few months ago, I introduced my new podcast, Image Mechanisms. So it would be back to its regular schedule, you know, usually broadcast on Tuesdays, Image Mechanism. But it's a lot to talk about. Celebrities, married celebrities, broken up, you know, just like our everyday lives. You know, we see our loved ones and friends, and even us ourselves going through different things. But tonight's show is only like 30, 40 minutes, so don't want to just take up a lot of time rambling, but I'm so excited to be back on the air and back on a regular schedule, and also be broadcasting spontaneous shows too. But my apologies also for those of you that have been anticipating shows, because you guys definitely have been listening. I hope you've been enjoying and catching up on some of the shows that you have missed or some that you have been desiring to listen to again. Big shout out to Ebony Empress also. But again, thank you. You're listening to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, and it's a lot to talk about, from holiday season job market. Some of the topics tonight, holiday season job market. It's been a lot going on in the NFL. Congratulations to the Cowboys. You guys know that I am just simple child, have been in awe with the Saints and the Cowboys. So Tony Romo and the Saints did their thing this past Sunday. So a big shout out to all the winners, and also those of that were losers also. Well, I don't want to say losers, but that's how it is, right? Big shout out to, you know, all those teams. And still, you know, this is some season that we're dealing with, right? Those of us that love the NFL, because we're dealing with the subject matters of head injuries and the subject matter of domestic violence. And I had tweeted when NFL commish, that's, you know, his tweet handle, when NFL commish Roger Goodell, and I know Goodell, I know a lot of you are, there are some critics about the speech that he had shared with us a couple weeks ago. But, you know, that was the tip of the iceberg. And one thing about his speech was that he plead for help from us, from the public. You know, I seen a man that was also emotional, showing emotion during his speech. Excuse me, my television was still up. I meant to turn it down before coming on air because, you know, background noise is not a good thing. And really, I tweeted, to make a short story short, I tweeted him after the speech, and I had told him that I would like to be a part of the personal conduct policy committee. You know, but I'm no stranger to domestic violence, and also as an advocate and as a longtime lover and quote unquote fan out of NFL, I think I think I would be a good candidate selection coming from the private sector. You know, like I said, I'm not a stranger to domestic violence also, date rape. And also, I love the sport and love the game. And I just like all of us that love the NFL, we do care. I know some people want him to resign because of his relationship with the players. But it's not just the relationship with the owners. It's not just the relationship with the players. It's also the relationship with us, those that work in work within the sport and outside the sport, just like with the NBA, others were affected too. There's the invisible people too. The people, a lot of us are affected. Those of us that experience domestic violence on both sides, you know, from the, you know, those that are abused and those that are abused, those that witness loved ones being abusers and abusing. And then, you know, it hurts us when we see our favorite players go through things or experience things emotionally and physically too. So just like I can't cover a lot right now talking, of course, the NFL commission could not cover. It was a long speech. He could not cover everything. So, you know, I some critics were disappointed because he didn't have some people part of it. You know, but at least it was the tip of the iceberg. And then there was so much after Ray Rice's situation really came out in the open. I mean, look, it was different. It was just snowballing. Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy, just different stuff just coming out. And then, like my mom said, seemed like they were pulling out stuff too. People that eat, players that did certain things, they like were pulling their records too, you know. So that was a lot to chew. I can imagine being an NFL commissioner and, you know, and being the owners and being the coaches and being the sponsors. So it's not just the owners. It's not just the players. It's not just, it's the sponsors. Look how the sponsors are pulling. It's us. The fans and the lovers are the ones that generate how the sponsors that operate, right? So, and then sponsors should show more responsibility also in regards in to such important topics. Like, just like breast cancer, domestic violence is an important topic also. So the dialogue has started. Different situations. My goodness, domestic violence. I like I said before, I am a domestic violence survivor. Both my short-lived marriages was volatile. I've had good relationships, but then I had even if somebody does not lay a hand on you, sometimes silent treatment is abusive, emotionally abusive. You know, so it's not just in physical, but it's into the emotional and psychological aspects too of the abuser and the abused and those that witness it also, from coworkers to peers to family members to neighbors, you know. And just wanted to talk a little bit on that. Time is going down. I have 14 more minutes of live streaming, but, you know, we can't extend it like an extra 10 minutes. But another thing, too, fall is here. Since I've been on hiatus 3 to 4 weeks, fall arrived. Mississippi State Fair begins tomorrow. I'm talking about the NFL. I have on the description of the show, you know, let's talk a little bit about LeBron James' recent weight loss. And congratulations to George Clooney and his new wife. LB, have you guys seen LeBron James? I mean, he lost 67 pounds. And he had gained like 12 of it back because he went like a little overboard. But I promise you, because I need to flatten my weight loss and my transformation is going good, but I still need to flatten that waistline, get that hourglass figure. I promise you, I could do what LeBron did. You know, no bread, no sugar, no gluten, right? Fish, lean meat, veggies, and fruits. But one thing I want to know is, what did he drink? Because, you know, we always hear about the caloric intake of things that we drink, if it's not water or healthy juices or green juices and stuff like that, right? So can't drink like 4 Diet Cokes. Still need to, you know, think healthy and drink healthy. So need to find out what is best and what is recommended to drink. But again, thank you so much for tuning in. I mentioned Peter Cook would be returning. So we're going to play and what you see is what you get, baby.
What you looking at, honey? Let's skip, baby. be my lover. And if I was your girlfriend, I would die for you in an electric chair.
Music and business, and We definitely would love for him to visit down here in the deep south of Mississippi. And also, I'm sure, you know, wouldn't it be awesome if he could collaborate with Prince? Honestly, go up to Paisley Park and they really like rock on and do some things, you know, educating us and having just a lot of fun. I could really see them working together. That's one thing that Prince told Arsenio Hall during that hour broadcast this past March, was it? That if he was not an entertainer, and really he is a teacher, I thought it was that Prince is an educator. You know, so it's kind of ironic that he said that. You know, that the one thing about it, he loved to teach. And, you know, because I think he would be awesome. For years I've thought that he would be an awesome mentor on American Idol or some of the other shows, but especially American Idol. He would be like the perfect mentor on that show. But I'm looking at LeBron James' article, and, you know, of course, I've been looking at a lot of them, and regarding his weight loss, and also, you know, of course, being an NBA lover also, just checking out the NBA period as they prepare for their season also. But as I read Slam, LeBron, and this is from the 29th, LeBron James says that weight loss is not basketball-related. But, you know, I've read other articles, too, that said that LeBron wanted to be healthier than he was last season, because last season he felt that he could have been in better shape at the beginning of the season. But it says that the article of Slam, written by Marcel Motoni, during the zoo-like atmosphere at the Cleveland Cavaliers Media Day, LeBron James and his new and old I have a chat room open, too. I'll go back in the chat room. Some of you want to come in the chat room since live streaming will be stopping in about 4 minutes. Someone told me they might call in to the show. If they don't call in tonight, I guess they will be calling in tomorrow during Matters of the Heart Wednesday. But it goes on to say that LeBron James and his new and old teammates face a phalanx of cameras and microphones, something they should probably get used to, right? James rehashed what his expectations are heading into the new season. What drove him to return and claim basketball had nothing to do with all that weight loss this summer. Per the AP, Associate Press, King James, you know, that's his Twitter handle, "I still have a lot to prove because of expectations I put on myself," James said. "I ask more of myself than anybody can ever ask of me. My expectations are still high, but I am more patient now than I was 4 years ago. I understand what it takes to win a championship. I understand winning a championship is the hardest thing you could ever do. I've been too up and too down in 4 years. I went from crying tears of joy to tears of frustration. I know it all. I know what it takes. I asked them first," James said, "about discussing his return to Cleveland with his two sons, LeBron James Jr. and Bryce James. I didn't explain it to them. They explained it to me. I was like, 'What do you think about Daddy going back home to play?' They were like, 'Home? You're talking about Cleveland?' I was like, 'Yeah.' And it was like, 'Okay, you get to play with Kyrie Irving.' I was like, 'Yeah,' James said. They were like, 'We getting to go back home to our house and getting back to my old school and my friends.' I was like, 'Yeah.' They were like, 'Okay, you could do it.' And that's how it went." So that was pretty awesome, right? I felt like he and Carmelo Anthony was going to make decisions that were comfortable with their families and themselves and with their new and old fans, right? So he sounds like a person that's committed to bringing a championship to Cleveland also. Then the article goes on and says that James also explained his recent weight loss. He went on a strict two-month diet. It was a personal challenge. It had nothing to do with basketball, he said. "I'm 29 years old, and I can still fly above the rim. I don't need to lose weight to do that." So, in other articles, they go in depth, and I've shared on my various social media pages that, you know, like he stayed away from sugars and I know I did a Rick Perry, huh? Rick Perry. Speaking of Rick Perry, he was on Morning Joe this morning. You guys know I'm still a big supporter of Rick Perry. Golly, and Al Sharpton was talking about Mitt Romney this evening, and I missed it. Maybe I can get the repeat. But LeBron stayed away from sugar and breads and gluten, but he stuck to lean meats, fish. Fruits and vegetables, and so we're going to talk more about that also. We have one more minute of live streaming, but I want to dabble a little bit in talking about the holiday season job market also, and I wish I could talk more about the hot topics that's been going on. It's been like a lot of good news and bad news going on. But, of course, tomorrow we'll be broadcasting Matters of the Heart. And so we'll be talking about, you know, for ages I've had guests and looking forward to Belinda Bostic coming back. Belinda Bostic, you know, is an intimacy consultant that in a long-time online friend of mine. And so love for her to come back. And also Andrea Carter of Pure Romance. But on tomorrow... we'll be profiling and talking about the history of the 20-year company Passion Party. I'll be hosting the Passion Party soon, in the month of October and November. And so I'm going to talk about the Passion Party, and I'm looking forward to hosting this party, and I'll talk more about also that I'll be working with. And she sold Avon and Mary Kay before, but she's a Passion Party consultant. And so tomorrow we'll be talking about passion parties and also a topic. We've been putting it off. We've been on the schedule, exclusive relationships, and, of course, the broad topic of sex and hot topics. And I want you guys to chat with me, call in, tweet with me regarding different various topics and calling in also. And Matters of the Heart, I'm sure we'll still be talking about also domestic violence and subject matters like that. And I want to fill you guys in regarding community events that's happening. Also, those of you that share with me, and then also events that's happening here in Mississippi and in the capital city of Jackson. Also, there's some pretty awesome things happening. We have Photo America happening on Friday. There's a casting call for a documentary about those that date interracially for white girls only. And there's a lot of things happening this week and this month and so on. And in the near future, we'll be talking about the history of rent parties. You know, rent parties started during the Harlem Renaissance. And, you know, we love talking about and profiling different topics. Like, you know, we've profiled and talked about subject matters like the black elite and other topics and subject matters. So definitely should be interesting. I think we dabbled a little bit on that topic, but have not really talked about the historical the subject matter of rent parties, and rent parties have resurfaced in recent years also, so with a new twist, right? But I really thank you guys for tuning in, and the live streaming has stopped, and I'm going to play, since I have Fiscal Cliff still on my playlist, and I'll be removing Fiscal Cliff, and What You See Is What You Get, and probably would be getting a new theme song, but you guys know I love Menstrual Cycle. That instrumental is just so jamming for intro song, but it's been almost a year, so I'm sure I'd choose another Minneapolis Prince song to replace it as a theme song. You know, the guy that I have been seeing, or, you know, we're friends, and we're there for each other, support of each other, and he happens to be a very talented artist. So he's supposed to be doing an intro for me. So I'm looking forward to this intro and outro that he's supposed to be doing for me. And I have a lot of new music from different artists and DJs, DJ Swan, and other artists of different genres, music to play with you takes place for you, excuse me. But here's Fiscal Cliff, and check out Peter Cook, okay? Listen to the show if you missed it, or if you want to hear it again, check it out, because it is the featured show also. Here's Fiscal Cliff. Oh, and you guys know we're going to talk about that security breach at the White House. Because that woo-wee, oh my goodness. Whoa. Something's not right, right? I know. We got to talk. I know some callers will be calling in about that. Okay. Here's Fiscal Cliff, Peter Cook. many companies are hiring, not just in retail, but, you know, in hotel industry, and, you know, other jobs are hiring seasonal and part-time work. A lot of it turned into permanent work. I'm looking right now at WiseGeek. WiseGeek asked the question, what is a seasonal job? And a seasonal job is defined as a short-term position designed to fill a temporary need, usually related to the time of year. The summer jobs popularly held by students fit into this category, as do temporary positions, usually in retail and delivery, that open up in many markets around the winter holidays. Short-term construction and house painting jobs, work related to crops and agriculture, and many tourism positions may also follow as seasonal schedules. Basic premise is that one of the defining characteristics of a seasonal job is that it is temporary. Employers hire seasonal staff to fill a particular need that is not expected to last more than a few weeks or months. The timeline is usually set out at beginning so that employees are not surprised when the work ends. Students and others with structured obligations often enjoy the fixed nature of these jobs, as it allows them to make money when their schedules permit without having to commit year-round availability. And then a lot of people like it, as you know, it's that second or part-time job, too. That's me talking. Holiday retail and delivery work, temporary work over the Western Hemisphere, winter holidays, usually between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day, is usually what most people think of when they hear the phrase seasonal employment. Many retailers experience a big influx during this season and often need more workers than usual to meet the demand. In most cases, it wouldn't make sense for a company to permanently grow its staff, but adding a few short-lived positions is often a great way to ease the holiday burden. The demand for delivery work also tends to increase during this period, and it's often possible to find seasonal work with the postal service or with private package delivery services. Sorting, tracking, and actual door-to-door delivery are all usually required in force during high-volume gift-giving seasons. And then when it comes to tourism and leisure-related services, in the warmer months, there are usually plenty of seasonal job openings within the tourism and entertainment sectors. Carnivals and amusement parks that are only open for part of the year are often good contenders. Yeah, because I was on the news today. The fair stores tomorrow, there were people from near and far down at Mississippi State Fairgrounds at 3 a.m. Applying for seasonal work. Seasonal as the 12 days that the fair is here, they want to work those 12 days, you know. And a lot of people were hired on the spot. So that's an example. Carnivals and amusement parks that are only open for part of the year are often good contenders. Traveling agencies may also see an influx of bookings during this period, necessitating temporary office help. Cruise ships, resorts, and hotels typically also hire seasonal staff members during particularly busy times. Seasonal employees in these types of jobs are often housed on site, and many return year after year, though the promise of guaranteed work is rarely ever guaranteed. Agriculture jobs, crops by their very nature are cyclical, require more work at certain times of the year than at others. Many farms hire seasonal laborers to help harvest fruits and vegetables when they are ripe, for instance, are clear in seed fields just before growing begins. There is not usually enough work to be able to sustain a large team of farmhands year-round, but in certain seasons, the work is often plentiful. And then there's construction work. Many construction and outdoor renovation jobs are also contracted on a seasonal basis in climates of harsh winters or in regions with a defined rainy season. While many construction professionals can keep busy during these off months by engaging in planning or interior projects, assistants are usually only required during the height of a project. Firms often hire assistants to help out with building campaigns through the spring and summer, either on a per-project basis or through a monthly retainer arrangement. And then there's weather-dependent situations. Cities and communities often contract out for work like snow plowing, lawn watering, and beach lifeguarding on a seasonal basis, as these are jobs that in most places can only be done during certain times of the year. People who take these jobs frequently have other sources of employment and often pick up the task on a part-time or as-needed basis. Weather-dependent jobs can be difficult to predict. A year with surprisingly little snow, for instance, may mean that a seasonal snowplow driver has little to do. Prospects of future employment. A seasonal job lacks the security and benefits of regular employment, but can nevertheless be a good deal in the right circumstances. Students often take seasonal jobs as a way of gaining some work experience, which can help fill out a resume and act as evidence of drive and dedication. People who are looking to break into a specific sector of employment, people who want to manage orchids of their own, for instance, or who have their heart set on winning a full-time position at a certain department store, may also start out as seasonal employees in order to gain industry experience and make contacts. Employers often take note of their best seasonal staff and sometimes keep them in mind when more permanent opens come up. Exactly. On the ideal part of time, seasonal job is working in a vineyard. You have to find just the right one, but if you do, it's amazing. And then the author goes on to say that I have a bunch of friends who go back to the same vineyard year after year in order to help with the harvest. Not because they need the money, but because they love the job so much. They think of it like a vacation. The right vineyard would provide plenty of wine, nice accommodation, and gorgeous homegrown meals for their workers. It could be hard work, but the camaraderie is wonderful. Of course, you do have a hunt around for any place that is going to be like that. I'm sure many of them just feature the back-breaking work without the perks, and either way, you're not going to get paid very much. And then someone else